I want you to know that it's never too late for your fresh start. You can begin again, and I want to show you how.
You Can Begin Again, coming soon from Joyce Meyer.
Thanks for listening today. Again, to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
There's one thing we must reclaim. It is our identity. That our DNA is that of dominion, having dominion, taking dominion. Let me start here before we go into Genesis. I've mentioned this in passing, but there's some chronological truths that at some point in time we're going to establish, and with some we're going to reestablish. But in establishing timelines, we can see where we are. Sometimes we don't understand what dispensation, if I can call it that, or what season we are in, not just as a church, but on God's timetable. Now, let me just give you some brief history here, just to reinforce our position of dominion. So much of what we hear today, here especially in the United States, in our nation, in the West, has to do with what I like to think of as a postponement theology. You know, you hear me say from time to time, stop waiting on the rapture bus because it's broke down. So many, because of that particular theology, are focused on trying to get out of somewhere and not focused on possessing somewhere, you know, checking out of society. You know, God has you in a particular place in society for a reason. You're not just there by accident or coincidence. No, God has you there. Look at someone and tell them, God has you right where He wants you. It could even be through a series of mistakes. He's got you because He wants His church, His bride, to possess the land, to take dominion. Tell someone dominion in every domain. This is God's ultimate purpose and His ultimate plan. Not for us to, you know, run from the world, run from the trials, run from testing and try to get out of here. No, that's not His plan at all. As a matter of fact, through His church, His plan is to establish His kingdom. Now, we really need to understand that, because I don't know that everybody understands that. Many are waiting to be raptured out and not here to occupy. I want to talk to you about proclamations. Sometimes our prayer is not that of proclamation, but it's simply that of petition. But we have to graduate. We have to mature to a place and a dimension, to a level of making proclamations. I'm going to show you why that's so important. But in the context of Matthew 24, Jesus talked to His disciples. They had two very curious, very pressing questions. When and what? When will be and what will be the sign of your coming? Now, He speaks about the end of the world, right? And then the end shall come. If you look at that in the proper context, it's not talking about the end of the world, the universe, and the world as we know it. is talking about the end of an age. You know, in other words, he was saying to his disciples, this generation, all these things shall come to pass, and then shall the end come. This generation will see it. He was talking to his disciples. In other words, from A.D. 30, from the time of Jesus' public ministry, when he was made public, to A.D. 70 was 40 years, one generation. He said, all these things this generation will see, and then the end shall come. Now, what is he talking about, the end? See, postponement pushes it way out somewhere. So we're still waiting on something. We're trying to use newspaper theology. You know what I mean? You read newspaper and you try to size it up with the things in the Bible. This is prophetic. This is what, no. You got to discern and use Bible. Now, he told them that generation. Somebody say that generation. In other words, that 40 years, in that 40-year period, they would see all these things come to pass. And you know what? They did. They saw all those things that Jesus talked about come to pass. Now, what was he talking about when he was talking about the end of the world? He was talking, and look at the Greek words, okay? Because the word is aeon, age. In other words, it will be the end of an age. A.D. 70 will mark the end of an age. What was the end of the age? It was the end of the age of Moses, the end of the age of the law. That's when the end of the age of the old covenant came to cessation. It came to an end. And he said, this would be the sign of it. The abomination of desolation will stand in the holy place. What he referred to was Titus Caesar. Jesus was saying, because this wicked generation and this wicked nation and all the prophets that prophesied about it all down through the years, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. God was going to take the covenant from that people and give it to another. Are y'all following me? Just giving you bits and pieces right now, but we're going to get into, I want to get into this so you really get a good understanding of this, because there's verses and scriptures that align with this. Remember Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he cried. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You know, I would have gathered you together like a mother hen and her chicks, but you would not. The ultimate rebellion and what sealed it was when they crucified him. But Jesus told his disciples before that, that, you know, he had to be killed and all that. But he said, before this generation is over, the desolation of abomination is going to come. You'll see it stand in the holy place. He said, when you see that, he said, he that is on the rooftop, don't go into your house to get anything out. Flee to the mountains. You that are in Judea, flee. In other words, he forewarned the infant church. He forewarned them, because I've been reading up on what actually took place. And I hope God will give me a grace to really impart and paint you a picture as to the tribulation. You see, they were the bridge. They were bridge. This was the most strategic time in history. Period. And it was the greatest tribulation. Jesus said there'll never be no trouble like this again, because they were transitioning from that old, from the law, to the kingdom. And it was that 40-year period. Everything transpired in that generation saw all these things. But now in our mind, and what we've been taught down through the years, and what we've embraced and what we believed, is that it's pushed off to some generation way down the road there. So we're looking for things out here, and, you know, even so, come, Lord Jesus, and we're going to get out of here before all this happens. No. Jesus said this would be the sign of his coming and of him establishing his kingdom when they saw the desolation of abomination. Guess what? Titus, they destroyed the temple. Amen. They destroyed Jerusalem. They besieged it in A.D. 66. It took 4 years. And they utterly destroyed and killed everybody that was there. But the disciples had been forewarned. There was a place already set for them where they fled to. I want to give you some background so that we can get a better idea of where we are now and who we are and what our responsibility is as the church. Jesus said when the temple was destroyed, that was the sign he gave to them. When you see this happen, you'll know that the Son of Man has come into the power of his kingdom. Because when the temple was destroyed, it was the end of the old covenant. And it was right then, and it was right then that the church age began. Now, what happened when Jesus died, or was crucified, buried, and resurrected, after being seen for 40 days and 40 nights, he left and told them to go wait in Jerusalem, right? Till they be endued with power from on high. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. I like to think of it this way, that was Jesus' inauguration at the throne. When that glory was poured upon him, it just kind of went down to the border of his garment and just came on down into the earth realm upon the 120 that were waiting. In other words, the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was a sign, the beginning of the church. Now, the 40 years that they had, they were sent to the house of Israel. I want to establish something with you here because, see, God doesn't have two covenants today. Now, I receive anybody that want to challenge me on that. God does not have two covenants today, but what we're being taught is all about a natural Israel. That covenant's over. God took that covenant, and he offered it to another. Remember, the ones that were invited to the wedding feast, Jesus gave them a parable. The wedding feast, they went out, they invited the ones, and they didn't come. He said, all right, go out into the hedges and highways and invite others to come. But the ones that were invited, they're not coming now. And parable after parable, we see where the Lord shifted this. And the picture that's painted here today is just a picture of people waiting on a covenant to be established with Israel, a natural covenant. You know, the reinstating of, you know, sacrifices. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would God give the supreme sacrifice, Christ himself, the sacrificial lamb, to die for the sins of the world, and then start up something else where people are offering sacrifices again? But yet, you know, if you don't look at it, I mean, people are waiting for something. No, Israel is spiritual. Zion is spiritual now, and it encompasses both Jew and Gentile. Those 40 years after Jesus' ascension, he gave gifts. Now, notice something. He told them to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the earth, but it was to get the Jewish remnant saved. Get the Jew first. And then Paul, when he came along, Paul was sent to the Gentile. So God shifted this thing. Now, we have to understand that we're not waiting on something else to happen. When he did this, he told his disciples, even while he was there, the kingdom of God is here. Look at somebody tell him, the kingdom is here. See, he manifested the kingdom. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. Everywhere he went, he changed environments. Hello? The devil had to flee. He took territories. Everywhere he went, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God manifest. Well, with his disciples as well, when they received the Holy Ghost, they did the same thing. Everywhere they went, miracles, signs, wonders followed them. The word says, and this gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 7 of our series entitled Dominion. Today's message, Proclamation. God's ultimate purpose and plan is for the body of Christ to establish his kingdom. Oftentimes, our prayers are those of petitions and not proclamations. When you petition something, you are making a request. To proclaim is to declare or announce something to be so. In Genesis 1, 3 through 26, the words, "and God said," are repeated numerous times, followed by, "and so it was." He declared everything into existence, and it was so. That's how powerful his word is in his mouth and in our mouth. God, who made us in his own likeness, gives us power to proclaim his word. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS. Or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.